6673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis, and good to be with you tonight. I was trying to figure out why I couldn't hear anything. I was turning the dial, and realized I was turning the wrong dial. So I'm glad I can hear something now. So I guess we can go ahead with the program. But I hope you had a great day today, and it's been a wonderful day, and had a wonderful time at church today. Wonderful time day yesterday. It's been good, busy but good, and so it's just been nice to be around various people and talking about celebrating the birth of Christ, and up here in northeastern Ohio, we definitely got some snow finally. If it hangs around, we're supposed to get a warming trend this week, but it's above freezing right now. We got cold last week. We had snow. I had 10 inches on my back porch last week, and 3 below, I think it was, on an early Friday morning, and 3 below as in 3 degrees below zero, on the Fahrenheit scale, of course. And it really felt like wintertime. I had to get out and clear my driveway out twice last week because it was coming down so hard and everything, but it's kind of melting off a little bit today, and so it's kind of nice. We'll see how it goes out the rest of the year. Hard to believe we've got just only a couple of weeks left in the year, and we're going to have, of course, next week is Christmas Eve, and I will be broadcasting, Lord willing, live on Christmas Eve, and we will have our annual Christmas reading. The birth of Christ according to the scriptures, and we will be doing that at some point on Christmas Eve. That's 1 week from tonight. And I also want to mention, too, that if you are in an area where you can hear our Friday afternoon program right here on AM 1220, The Word, you can listen to us on this coming Friday. I will be joining the program that's ahead of us. Pastor John Lutz of the North Coast Baptist Church has a program for the cause of Christ that comes on from 1 o'clock until 1:30, and then our program live with Pastor Al is on from 1:30 until 2 o'clock on every Friday here on AM 1220, The Word. And we're going to combine our programs this week. In advance of Christmas, we're going to combine them so we can talk about some various things dealing with Christmas, dealing with what the Bible has to say about Christmas. We're probably going to cover some myths and misunderstandings about Christmas, and we will be live. And of course, the same phone number that we use for the program here tonight, the same toll-free number, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll have that going, as well as a live program where you can call in with some questions. We'll be talking about Christmas and what the Bible says about, like I said, myths and misunderstandings and different things, and looking to the Bible for answers on in regards to that. And then, of course, 2 weeks from tonight will be New Year's Eve, and we will be here, Lord willing, New Year's Eve for the program. And so I hope you'll be able to join us for those two nights as well, and we will hopefully be able to end up or finish up the year on a positive note, and we look forward to 2018 coming in soon. So do keep us in your prayers, and hopefully you'll tune in and join us for those programs. Well, tonight, of course, let's get started with a word of prayer here, and we will get into our program here this evening. And so let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. We just thank you again for giving us the opportunity. And pray we'd be a blessing. Pray that we'd be an encouragement to people tonight. Thank you for your word. We thank you for your son, the Savior, that came into the world. We take time to celebrate his birth. and more than just his birth, but what it means to us and the precious gift of salvation that he came into this world to purchase for us. So we just pray that you would bless, use the program tonight for your glory. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, like I said before, this is Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. You can give us a call tonight, toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and get you on the question or the program tonight with your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. We'd love to hear from you tonight. And let me remind you, of course, to check us out online. Our website is livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can find out a lot about us there. You can link to our home church. I'm the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, and you can follow the links to our church page. You can see some of our preaching there, and also at livewithpastoral.com. There's some comments there. There's links to some there. You can listen to some past programs. And like I said, if you're listening in Florida, Georgia, somewhere down that way, where you don't hear our Friday program, we have those on there at the same time. I've got one program from this past Friday that I want to get on, hopefully in the next few days. And we were looking at the birth of Christ and why it was important that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. And so I talked about that this past Friday, and I'll have that up there. I'll post it on Facebook as well when we get that posted online. And that, of course, reminds me you can visit our program on Facebook at facebook.com/ Live with Pastor Al. That's facebook.com/ Live with Pastor Al. And of course, you can link to that as well from our homepage at livewithpastoral.com. Well, again, you can give us a call tonight if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. Like I said, I'd love to hear from you here tonight. And the Christmas reading that we'll be doing next week is also available at our webpage, livewithpastoral.com. You click on that, you can follow the link for The Birth of Christ, and it's a little e-booklet. And we put that together some years ago. I'll talk more about it next week. We put that together some years ago when my wife and I were serving as missionaries in the Samoan Islands. We put that together for a Christmas program there, and so we'll talk about that a little bit more. And you can download that for free. You can get a hold of a copy of that, and trust that you'll enjoy it. I heard from a friend of ours in another church down toward Akron, Ohio, and Copley, actually, that sent me a message saying that their church was going to use that for the youth, where they were going to have some of the young people and children in the church reciting the passages, and then they were going to play some songs, sing some songs in between some of the various scripture passages, and that was how they were going to work out their Christmas program. And I thought, well, what a blessing. What a blessing. That's my intent. We don't get a dime off from that. That's just out there. It's nothing but the Word of God, and so we've got it there so that it can be a blessing to you and to your family and to your church. So I hope you'll check that out at our webpage, livewithpastoral.com, and then just look for that e-booklet link. You'll see it on the right-hand side. All right. Well, again, we'll get into a couple of things here tonight, and I had some things set up on my computer, and of course, it decided to have to be restarted before the program here this evening, but I was wanting to encourage you to continue to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And let me turn over here in Zechariah chapter 12 here. And, you know, I just think of what's happening over in Israel right now. And remember, just recently, President Trump acknowledged that Jerusalem is the eternal capital of Israel. And that's exciting that we have a president that recognized that, and he directed the State Department to begin making plans to relocate the embassy, the United States embassy, from Tel Aviv to the capital of Israel, which is Jerusalem. And you would think that he is calling for the world to be destroyed by making that decision. And people are trying to say, well, how stupid, how short-sighted, everybody from the Pope to what's the guy over there, Mahmoud Abbas, the head of the Palestinian Authority. And by the way, I was reminded of something recently. Mahmoud Abbas is no saint, let me tell you that. Remember the Olympics back in the 70s? What was it, 74 Olympics, I think it was, where the Israeli athletes were attacked by Arab Muslim extremists? You want to know who one of the masterminds of that attack was? Mr. Peace himself, Mahmoud Abbas. That was one of the masterminds of that. You know, he's following in the footsteps of his predecessor and mentor, Yasser Arafat. For those of you who remember Yasser Arafat, Yasser Arafat was the head of the Palestinian Liberation Organization, the PLO. Arafat was a terrorist. He gave the world the suicide bomber, and the world gave him the Nobel Peace Prize as a result of that. And, you know, he masterminds the blowing up of suicide bombers inside of pizza parlors in Israel. And, of course, President Clinton allows him to stay in the White House. Yeah, crazy world we live in, isn't it? And so when President Trump acknowledges that Jerusalem is the eternal capital of Israel and directs the State Department to move the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, everybody makes him out to be the bad guy. Now, think about this. For one thing, President Trump was doing what he is required by the Constitution of the United States to do. And here's what I mean. The president is the head of the executive branch. As the head of the executive branch of the federal government, the president is required to execute the laws that are duly passed by the legislative branch of the government, which is the Congress, the House, and the Senate. The House and the Senate, then, they make laws and they debate what they want to say and they pass legislation. Well, 20-some years ago, the United States Congress, during the Clinton administration, passed legislation directing the United States to move its embassy from Tel Aviv to the real capital of Israel, which is Jerusalem. That wasn't President Trump. President Trump was nowhere connected with politics other than giving money to various campaigns at that time. And the Congress ordered President Clinton to move, they directed him, I should say, to move the embassy. And so President Clinton said, oh, well, this is too much. We can't do this. And he passed a series of six-month delays. And every 6 months, they kicked the can down the road. Well, President George W. Bush came in, and in many ways, things were better, but they certainly weren't perfect. And President George W. Bush, every 6 months, kicked the can down the road with delay after delay. Now, President Bush, in his campaign, said he would move the embassy, but he never did. Well, after 8 years of President George W. Bush, President Barack Hussein Obama came into office, and President Obama also kicked the can down the road every 6 months. Well, candidate Donald Trump said that he would move the embassy in accordance with U.S. legislation. He would move the embassy and execute duly enacted legislation. He would move the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. Now, when he first went in office, he had a ton of things going on. And yes, he disappointedly did kick the can down the road for 6 months. But I understand he had a lot going on. But now he has said, in fulfillment of my campaign promises, and in obedience to my constitutional responsibility. Now, he didn't use his exact words, but in fulfilling his constitutional responsibility to execute the legislation, or that what the legislative branch passed, he told the State Department, we're going to move the embassy. Now, he was only enacting what the Congress had passed. So it wasn't just some idea that he pulled out of the air. It wasn't just some idea that some crazy leftists are trying to propagate, that he merely said that to placate the wild-eyed, fanatical, right-wing extremists like myself. And, that wasn't what he was doing. What he did was he was enacting, according to his constitutional role as the chief executive officer of this nation, he was executing the duly passed legislation from the legislative branch. He was doing his duty. Now, yes, it helps that the duty that he's doing is something that we people, such as myself, wild-eyed, right-wing religious fanatics would appreciate and approve of. He directed the embassy to be moved, and in doing so, that's a recognition that Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. Now, last I understood it, a sovereign state gets to pick where its capital is. The capital is not set by the rest of the world. It's set by that sovereign state. And so Israel chose to set their capital there. And that goes back to, I think it's about 1000 BC when King David captured Jerusalem and then established his throne there. And he ruled from Jerusalem over the United Kingdom. And then, of course, his successor, his son Solomon, King Solomon, ruled from there as well. Then, of course, following King Solomon during the time of Rehoboam, there was the civil war between the north and the south. Sound familiar? Between the north and the south of Israel. The northern kingdom of Israel separated and set their capital in Samaria, and the southern kingdom of Judah retained the capital in Jerusalem where the temple was. And so we basically had an unbroken Jewish presence in the land since that time. And so when Israel became a sovereign state in 1948, it was their right, and it was their privilege to be able to set their capital where they wanted it to be, and that was Jerusalem. And of course, that's in fulfillment. This helps fulfill some of the things that we see going on today. The whole world is in an uproar over President Trump saying the United States recognizes Jerusalem as Israel's capital. In Zechariah chapter 12, the Bible says, starting verse 1, the burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord, which stretcheth forth the heavens and layeth the foundation of the earth and formeth the spirit of man within him. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about, when they shall be in the siege both against Judah and against Jerusalem. And in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. And this is dealing with the latter days. So for the world to condemn President Trump, and for those extreme leftists out there that are complaining that all he's doing is pandering to right-wing religious fanatics making this recognition of Jerusalem. Well, I'm sorry. Jerusalem's become a burdensome stone to them, hasn't it? The Bible says, same Bible that says that Jerusalem become a burdensome stone for all people is the same Bible that says that we should pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And we do that. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and so I may encourage you to do that as well. And, the Bible warns over in Isaiah chapter 5, woe unto them that call evil good, Isaiah 5 verse 20, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. And we can see that happening when people are trying to say that what's been done there is in some way a bad thing. No, it's a very good thing, and it's simply recognizing what history says is true and what the present state of Israel has identified as their capital. So let me encourage you, pray for the peace of Jerusalem and the nation there. We know that real lasting peace will never come until that time, of course, that the Lord Jesus Christ returns and sets himself up there in Jerusalem and takes the throne in Jerusalem, as the Bible says. Well, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and let me encourage you, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight, toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Wanted to mention that numbers again, and again, wanted to touch on that. We've talked a little bit about Jerusalem. Just need to touch on that again, some of the things that are happening in the world around us. It's just good to be reminded of what God is doing there. Let me continue on here. Another reason that Jerusalem is so important, let me go back to Daniel chapter 9. In Daniel chapter 9, as soon as I can go the right direction in my Bible, there we go. The final wrap-up in God's program with the Jewish people centers around the Jewish people and Jerusalem. Daniel chapter 9, verse number 24, the Bible says, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end for sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Now, think about that. These are weeks of years, and we've touched on this a little bit in the past, but again, it identifies Daniel's people. Well, who are Daniel's people? They're the Jewish people. And who are the Jewish peoples in Daniel's holy city? That's Jerusalem. And so Jerusalem is very important in God's prophetic time sequence. Now, why do we look at these things? I heard somebody preaching one time saying that, oh, these pastors that spend all this time talking about prophecy, their heads in the clouds, and they're not concerned about what's happening here on earth. That's nonsense. That's nonsense. There's a good reason to look at Bible prophecy. One, the Bible's full of it. The Bible's full of prophecy, and so since there's so much in there, if you don't look at Bible prophecy, what are you going to do? Just eliminate the entire book of Romans, of Revelation, pretty much? What are you going to do? Eliminate 90% of the book of Daniel because it's Bible prophecy? Eliminate huge chunks of Isaiah and Ezekiel because it's Bible prophecy? What are you going to do? Well, it's there. And the Bible is there for our learning, for our knowledge and understanding, for our admonition. We're to preach the whole counsel of the Word of God, which includes Bible prophecy. It's there. It's all Scripture. Paul wrote to Timothy, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. That's all Scripture, includes the prophecy. And one of the reasons for Bible prophecy, and one of the reasons that we should look at it, it is quite simply, it's encouraging. When you look at the things that are happening in the world today, and you can see the basis of that laid out in Bible prophecy, it's encouraging to see that the world is not just careening totally out of control, heading for the edge of the cliff. We can see that things that are happening that look almost hopeless, that look like things are going completely out of control, we can see are actually found in the Word of God, such as what I said, Jerusalem becoming a stumbling stone, a burden to all the peoples of the world. We see that happening. Well, it's right there. We understand those things are going to take place. And so for a person who's a student of Bible prophecy, to see these things happening in the world, should you be concerned? Yes, absolutely, because when these things are happening, real people's lives are at stake. But at the same time, we are not feeling helpless. we understand that God has a plan. And when we see past prophecies fulfilled, then we understand it's reasonable to believe that future prophecies, those that are yet future, I should say, will also be fulfilled. When Jesus was born, the Bible says it was in the fullness of time. It came at the right time. That's the thing about Bible prophecy. It's fulfilled at the right time. Not too soon, not too late. Always at the right time. So it's a tremendous encouragement to believers, knowing that God is in control no matter how out of control things may seem. Bible prophecy is also something that indicates to us that the Bible is not an ordinary book. The gospel message in the Bible is very important, and I'm not trying to disparage the gospel. It's our responsibility to preach the gospel. We want to reach people with Christ. But there are things that are necessary to be able to reach people with Christ. The Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. For some people, it's the accuracy of the Bible in terms of history that convinces them that it's true. Some cases, it's the accuracy of the Bible in regards to scientific facts and things that are stated in the Bible that are found to be absolutely true. For some people, it's the accuracy of prophecy and fulfilled prophecy that gives them reason to accept the teachings of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bible prophecy and all these other things help people to know and to believe the word of God. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Stay tuned, we got another half hour to go. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Why? Well, because the Bible says, there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show's been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, and I hope you'll be able to stick with us and join in the conversation here this evening. And again, we'll be on until midnight tonight. And if you want to learn more about us, you can check out our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And you can learn more about, listen to past programs, and also you can find out about our church, the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, where I'm the pastor. And you can link to our church website there as well. You can also follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/livewithpastoral. That's facebook.com/livewithpastoral. And we're brought to you not only by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, but we're also brought to you by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. You can find East Coast Pizza at 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. That's 4889 Turney Road in Garfield Heights. You can call them for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. If you mention Live with Pastor Al, you get a medium one topping pizza for just $5. And also, we encourage you, if you're looking to start a business, and if you ever thought about starting a pizza business, why don't you give East Coast Pizza a call at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100, and ask for Gus. Let him know you heard about him here on Live with Pastor Al, and he can help you get started in your own pizza business for a lot less than what you might think possible. You just give him a call. It's not a franchise. It's your own business, and it's his recipe, his sauce recipe, his dough recipe, and he'll help you get started with his experience and get you started in your own business. And once you get going, it's your business. And you can get that started. The economy is booming. Unemployment is down. Employment is up. Real wages are increasing. A lot of good things are happening on the economic front. You wouldn't hardly notice that listening to the mainstream media. But if you're looking at what's happening and encouraged by positive developments in the economics of our country, and you want to start and say, now's the time to start my own business, give East Coast Pizza a call, 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. Ask for Gus. Tell him you heard about us or heard about him here on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Well, we'll get back to our program tonight. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We've got a couple callers lined up here this evening, and we've got, I believe, John calling in tonight. John, welcome to the program this evening.
Oh, thank you. How are you tonight?
I am doing well. How are you tonight?
Okay. You were talking about the prophecy of Daniel.
Yes, sir.
And I wanted to get your thoughts on Daniel 12, 1 and 2.
All right. Let me get turned back to Daniel here. Daniel chapter 12. And let me turn there. Daniel chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. The Bible says, at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth up for thy the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And let me read also the next verse, because that continues the thought. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they shall that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Okay, go ahead.
I was wondering when you, where you feel Michael will stand up.
Where or when?
Where?
Where? Well, I'm going to assume that when it says he's standing up for the children of Daniel's people, which would be the Jewish people, because elsewhere Daniel is identified as the prince of the Jewish people. And I would assume that it's probably in heaven before God. That would be my assumption, so just you, looking at that there.
You don't believe it's in Jerusalem then, right?
Oh, well, it could be, but it can also be in the presence of God while standing in Jerusalem. But I would tend to believe, since what's being talked about here would correspond to the events. Well, when it says, "And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was seen, since there was a nation, never was since there was a nation, even to that same time." We're talking about the time of the tribulation, and specifically the Great Tribulation, which is the last half of the 7-year tribulation period. That's the last week of, that's the 70 of the 70 weeks of years in Daniel chapter 9. Where he says in verse number 27, "And he," and this is the Antichrist, "shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause a sacrifice and oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even unto the consummation, until that determined shall be poured upon the desolate." Jesus in the Gospels identifies this as the abomination of desolation that will take place and signify the beginning of the Great Tribulation. The 7 years, that final week there of Daniel's prophecy is 7 years. And that time frame there is a time of tribulation, the wrath of God being poured out in judgment on a world that's rejected him. The believers, of course, having been removed from the world prior to that, because we're not appointed under wrath. And then in the midst of that week, the Antichrist, according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, goes into the rebuilt temple and declares himself to be God. And that's probably about the time also of Revelation chapter 13, when the devil and his angels are at war with Michael the archangel in heaven, and they're cast out. Their access to heaven is cut off, and they come down to the earth knowing their time is short, and they have great wrath, the Bible says. And that's going to be the time when there's going to be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. This is the time that Jesus said, "Except those days be shortened," meaning if they went any longer than the 3.5 years that they'll take place, that there'd be no life left on the earth. So with all that in mind, I believe Michael's going to be standing up in heaven, because he stands up in heaven and he battles in Revelation chapter 13, the devil. He leads the holy angels in a battle against Satan, and Satan is cast out, and the fallen angels with them. Right now they have access to heaven because he's described as the accuser of the brethren, and you can see him functioning that way in Job chapter 1 and 2, where Satan appears before God in heaven to accuse Job falsely, I might add. And that's why in 1 John chapter 2, Jesus is called the advocate with the Father. So when we're accused by the devil or one of his fallen angels that also accuses us to God, Jesus Christ stands up and points out the blood that's on the altar and says, "I died for that person's sins. They're forgiven. They're under the blood." What's that?
It says that Daniel's people are those that are written in the book of life.
Well, some of Daniel's people are written in the book of life, but that's not an exclusive statement. The believers, the Jewish believers of Daniel's day, are written in the book of life, and that's who is around at the time that this prophecy is given. See, the believers of the church age were not yet here.
Isn't the people that are written in the book of life in heaven?
Some of them are. Their soul and their spirit are, but their bodies are not. And in fact, verse number 2 there, Daniel chapter 12, verse 2, "And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake." Okay?
I think what Daniel's saying there is the people that are written in the book of life, he's talking about the people that are born again.
Well, we're included in that, yes. And Daniel is somebody who was born again. Now, he did not know the name of Jesus Christ, but see, Daniel knew that he was a sinner, and he knew that the wages of sin is death. I mean, he understood the sacrificial system. And so Daniel understood the need for a blood atonement. Daniel put his faith by faith. Daniel believed in the sacrifice that was coming. The Lord's Messiah, God, the Messiah would come and be that ultimate sacrifice for his sins. So he was putting in his faith in the Lord's Messiah, who would be the payment for his sin. Now, I, today, as a born-again believer, I am believing by faith. Yes, I'm a sinner. I'm putting my faith, my trust in the Messiah who came to be the sacrifice for my sins. And I happen to know his name is Jesus Christ because of the advantage of history. But see, Daniel and myself both came to salvation by putting our faith in God's sacrifice, God's Messiah, that would be the ultimate sacrifice or payment for our sins. Daniel looked forward to that sacrifice that had not yet happened. I look back to that sacrifice that has happened, but we're both putting our faith in the same thing, God's Messiah that would be our sacrifice.
I don't think you can say that Daniel's people are the Jewish people because not...
Let me ask you this, John. What was Daniel? Was he a Gentile or a Jew?
Well, you just got through saying that...
Was Daniel a Gentile or a Jew?
He would have been a...
Was Daniel a Jew or a Gentile?
He was a prophet of God.
Was Daniel a Jew or a Gentile? Well,
I don't know.
We can't answer the question. We can't move on from there. Daniel was obviously a Jew, and that's where in Daniel chapter 9, it very clearly said, I'll read this again. The problem is sometimes people do not want to accept what the Bible says, and when you do not accept what the Bible says and you cannot agree to define your terms, you can't have a conversation. In Daniel chapter 9, verse 24, I read this in the first half of the program. Let me read it again. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. He's talking to Daniel. Who are Daniel's people that he's talking to there? The Jewish people. And upon thy holy city. Who is the holy city he's talking about here? Or what is the holy city? It's Jerusalem. It's the same Jerusalem that in Zechariah chapter 12 was described as the city that would be burdensome to all the nations and peoples of the world. So when you ask, when the caller asks, you know, who were Daniel's people? Well, obviously they were the Jews. Let me give you another passage that identifies the Jews as Daniel's people here. Let's look in Daniel chapter 10. And see, in order to have a conversation, first of all, we have to agree the Bible means something. If we will not accept what the Bible means, we just can't have a conversation. In Daniel chapter 10, Daniel is in Persia at the time. And it says in the beginning, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel. Now, Daniel was living in Persia, but he was not a Persian. He was described as a Hebrew. And, you know, here's a cardinal rule of Bible interpretation. When the plain sense makes common sense, seek no other sense. People go through a lot of mental gymnastics trying to make the Bible mean things that they want it to mean rather than just simply letting it mean what it says. And so Daniel is a Jewish man living in Persia. That would be present-day Iran and during this time here. Actually, he was in Babylon, which was controlled by Iran or Persia at the time. And Daniel has a vision. I'm not going to read through. There's another caller waiting patiently for us. But Daniel has a vision. He sees this vision, and he prays for 3 weeks for the interpretation of the vision. And in Daniel chapter 10, and verse 12, an angel comes with the vision, and he says this to Daniel, "Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But lo, Michael," this is Michael the archangel, "one of the chief princes came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall. Notice what the angel says here. This is the angel sent directly by the hand of God to give a message to Daniel. What shall befall thy people? This is Daniel's people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. Now, this vision is for Daniel's people. It's the Jewish people. And that's what the vision was for. And he wanted him to understand this, that the vision was for the Jewish people. And we see that in chapter 9. We see that in chapter 10. And then, of course, in chapter 11, we get into the details of that vision. And we see various nations and people groups mentioned. And, of course, this is in relationship to Israel and Jerusalem and the Jewish people. And so we get to chapter 12. We find this out. And the other thing, too, in Daniel and in Revelation chapter 13, where this battle between Michael and Satan occurs, is the preceding verses talk about the Jewish people yet again. Isn't that amazing? And now, in the present time in which we're in, which is an interlude between Daniel's 69th week and 70th week of the vision there of the 70 weeks in Daniel chapter 9, the interlude that we're in is sometimes called the church age, more properly called the age of grace. And in the time frame that we're in right now, when people come to Christ, whether you come from a Jewish background or a Christian background, there's neither Jew nor Greek, meaning neither Jew nor Gentile in Christ. We are a part of the bride of Christ. We're part of the believers of this age. But the Jewish believers and the Gentile believers prior to the age of grace were unique groups of believers, but they were believers all the same. During the tribulation period of time, there will be believers that come from Jewish backgrounds and Gentile backgrounds, and they will be believers just like we are today, except that they will be recognized as Jewish believers and Gentile believers. We in the age of grace are recognized as a unique group, a special group that becomes neither Jew nor Greek in Christ. And then, of course, the millennial kingdom, there are going to be nations on the earth, a Jewish nation in Jerusalem, where Jesus Christ will sit upon the throne of David, ruling over the earth. And this is all in the scripture. You can read it, study the Bible, and it's all laid out for us there. And of course, the Jewish believers and the Gentile believers will go into that kingdom. And we, the bride of Christ, we will also return with Jesus Christ, and we will also be with him in that kingdom. And then, of course, at the conclusion of the millennial kingdom, and in Daniel chapter 9, we see all this kind of smooshed together without the benefit of any kind of like depth perception. It's all kind of lumped together here from the beginning of the tribulation, through the millennial kingdom, to the final judgment, when people will go into everlasting punishment, those that have rejected the Messiah, and those that will go into everlasting righteousness, or however it was, because of those that have accepted the Lord's Messiah. And we will go into that eternal state. There will be Jewish believers. There will be Gentile believers. There will be the bride of Christ living in the New Jerusalem. And that's all outlined for us in Revelation chapter 20 and 21. Well, we could talk about some more of those things there, but I want to get back to our callers here. And of course, our number is 888-677-9673. And we've got Marilyn calling in next. Marilyn, welcome to the program tonight.
Hi, Pastor Al.
Hi, good evening.
How are you tonight? And I have to say it, Merry Christmas.
Well, thank you.
Happy New Year.
Merry Christmas to you as well.
Thank you very much. As far as Merry Christmas is concerned, I've noticed in this year particularly that you very rarely hear it on the TV anymore. The TV commercials omit it, and they just say, Happy Holidays.
And that has been a trend for a while. But my wife and I were talking, we've noticed that in personal conversation in places that you go, you are hearing Merry Christmas more this year.
Not on TV.
Yeah, I'm saying in personal conversation.
Yeah, I noticed it this year alone, particularly, it's very bad. You know, people are omitting Christ and throwing him under the bus.
Mm-hmm.
As far as your last caller is concerned, if we didn't have the Jewish people, we wouldn't have the Holy Bible.
Well, absolutely, because in the fullness of time, Jesus was born to a young Jewish woman, a virgin by the name of Mary. And that was an exact fulfillment to prophecy by a Jewish prophet, Isaiah.
I have a prophecy Bible, and it explains how the Bible became into being. The Word of God was given to the Jewish people.
Right.
The Jewish people wrote the words of the Lord on parchment paper, and that's how we got our Holy Bible. I know you're running short on time and everything, but I also want to say we have a fantastic president sitting in the White House today, and I see nothing but evil. He's battling evil, and I see a lot of evil in the Democratic Party. I'm just going to come out and say it. I see just evil coming out 100%. No matter what he does, they try to put him down and make false accusation, and as he says, false, fake news. It is fake news. And I pray for the president every day. And I hope the God, hand of God intervenes for him. And, you know, something happens. Also, I have a gut feeling that the next presidential election, when that comes around, I don't think we're going to end up with another Christian president. I have a funny feeling it's going to be from the left, and excuse the expression, but all hell is going to break loose. I just have a bad feeling about that. What are your views on that?
Well, we do live in the latter days, and you know, when we look at what happened, I was listening to somebody on the radio. I believe it was Sean Hannity, who said that he spoke with President Trump's son, Donald Trump Jr., on election eve last year at about, I think it was like about 7-8 o'clock. And he said, "How's your dad doing?" And he said, "Well, he's kind of quiet. He's kind of sitting in a room watching the results on the television." And at that time, it looked like Donald Trump was going to lose and Hillary Clinton was going to win. And certainly the Democrats thought that. Most of the Republicans thought that. Most of the major media thought that. But I'm reminded that at about 8 o'clock that evening, a lot of people forget this, but at 8 o'clock on election eve, 8 o'clock Eastern time, over in Jerusalem, a prayer rally started, and they prayed especially for the American election. And they had any Americans that were there in the group come to get up to the front, and they started praying. And there was also a couple prayer rallies that started in various places in the states around about the same time. And by 9 o'clock, the results had changed so much that they canceled the fireworks over at the Hillary victory party. And this, to me, was a fulfillment of Daniel chapter 2, verse 21, where it says, "And he changeth the times and seasons, he removeth kings and setteth up kings." I believe God intervened in that election, and he gave this country a reprieve. And that reprieve was in an unlikely candidate that I will be perfectly honest, I did not endorse in the beginning. But I believe genuinely the man had an encounter with Christ and trusted Christ as his Savior. He's a young Christian making a lot of mistakes, but God is using him. And our country is showing changes in a good way as a result. Hey, Marilyn, we're out of time. I want to thank you for the call. Encourage people to pray for our president, pray for our country. Thanks for listening. Join us next time. God bless.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and every Friday night at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 o'clock on this station. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.
The preceding program's views, claims, or representations may not reflect those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Media Group.